This week's episode of Heavy Meta is brought to you by Face-to-Face Games. If you like paper cards, that's the place to get them. If you don't, try MTGO Academy for all your digital needs.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome to Heavy Meta, your source for magic news, entertainment, and comedy.
Ho, 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 motherfuckers! I'm Heavy Metal Claws.
And I'm Maddie Studios the Snowman.
And I am Ferret the Ninja Elf.
He's a fucking ninja. Welcome to Heavy Meta, everybody. It's a holiday episode.
Christmas time, bitches!
Yeah, ho-ho, and all that jazz. It is our Christmas episode, and while you're listening, so happy holidays to everybody, and bing your Crosbys if that's what you need to do.
Dude, I've bunged so many Crosbys in my lifetime, you don't even fucking know.
Oh, it's a good time. Work is starting to slow down a bit, and I can feel the holiday, the smoothness. As Marcel would say, the smooth brothers is about to happen, my brothers. But we've got an interesting episode this week. Of course, a lot of casts are finding it very hard to generate content because there's nothing going on. But we don't.
All you have to do is fill us full of booze and we're good.
Yeah, there you go.
I'll start it off. I'll throw an artist right to work from the beginning of the cast. That way you guys can continue along with the cast and get further ideas.
That's right.
Our holiday-themed art challenge for you guys is this.
Oh, well, Santa banging strippers. Oh, sorry.
Santa is banging the stripper down in the strip joint down – well, me, Maddie, and Kevy are stealing
– I'm sorry, I have to interrupt you. I know I said I wouldn't do this, but I just got the greatest idea ever.
Not even 5 minutes in, Kevy. I hate you.
Oh, I'm opening a Christmas-themed strip club called the North Pole. Fuck that. It's Christmas all year round.
All right. Now, back to what I was saying. You've got me, Maddie, and Kevy, who've ganked, stolen, whatever word you want to use. We are taking and hijacking Santa's sleigh. So you're going to see it kind of doing the whole flying into the night thing with Kevy puking his guts out the back, Maddie holding on for dear life, me having a broken antler in my hand, and poor Prancer is missing a part of his antler, and I'm threatening Rudolph with the antler
to get his ass moving.
So
that would be fair suggestion. My suggestion would be we're going to go with the sleigh hijacking scene as well. But this time, you gotta have me and Kevy in the sleigh whipping Ferret furiously as he's the only reindeer, because all the other reindeers are dead on the ground, and it's just Ferret with a glowing red nose. No, it's a glowing red ass as we're whipping him. What do you want to see, Kevy?
And my suggestion is I need one of you guys to draw up, like, basically what the interior of my strip club's going to look like, and then we can be business partners.
Oh, man. So, Ferret is back this week. He was on a little mission for us that we will not talk about because we're not talking about it.
We don't fucking feel it.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, but I don't want to piss off Miss Santa Claus.
Zip it. So there is a bit of news, I guess, that was released today. We got a Seeing the Future article by Chris Kritz. Whatever your name is, Kritzy. He's on the dev team, I guess, or part of Magic Online. And they basically kind of wrote a big excuse for fucking up. Kind of like letter like, oh yeah, remember we said we'd have the client out to you in August and we don't. There really isn't that much information in the article besides them saying, hold on, Ferret, I'll get to it.
I was going to say, at least they're making it detailed rather than the two-paragraph thing that we got from Worth last time. And then I kind of said, hey, dude, you're really copping out here.
Yeah, I mean, Here's the funniest thing. If you go look at this article, there's four videos and they're 6 seconds long. I don't know if they understand the concept of what a YouTube video is, but this isn't it. Okay.
No, it's that would be Vine. Six seconds is Vine, people, and most of their Vine videos that they put on on Twitter drive me batshit crazy and give me a headache. But that's a whole different story.
Except for Les Kershaw's awesome Vine videos of when he shows his proxies. But anyways, what they do talk about in here is the new wide beta, which Kevy, I'll stop. I'll interrupt myself.
Yes, did you say new and beta in the same sentence? Because this thing is not new.
Well, I meant the new release of the latest version.
Oh.
But Kevy, you are on the closed beta now, are you not?
Yes, I am.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm gonna break this thing.
I've had the opportunity multiple times to be on the closed betas. I just haven't taken the opportunity to do so.
Okay, well, I'm gonna say this. If anyone listens to the show and wants,
I just did it so I could feel special.
No. Just listen to me, and I hope I don't get kicked off for this, but I'm gonna just say it anyways. If you have a chance to get on the closed beta, get on it right now, because if you can get on, it's amazing. Okay, trust me. There's times like before the set comes out that it's amazing to be on there. I will say no more. But
okay,
you should get on there.
Actually, Maddie, I have to say this though. Does the closed beta actually perform on Windows 7, unlike the normal beta right now, which you turn on the program and 10 minutes later you're just kind of like, hi, you're now loading.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm running Windows 7 64-bit and it works beautiful.
Yeah, same here. System.
Yeah, it runs good on me. I just tried it.
I'm not saying the closed beta. I'm saying the normal beta.
Yeah, both.
The normal, for some fucking reason, I can have like up to 5 clients, 20 browser windows open, and my other work shit for the V3 client, but the beta, forget it. It's just glacial.
It's all the ferret midget porn you've been watching. You've got an anti-beta virus on your computer now.
Anyways, they go in depth in the article about what they're trying to fix, and it's the same. In all honesty, I hate talking about it because it's the same thing from last time. They're improving the functionality. They're improving the speed.
It still sucks, well, and we're trying to make it better.
The difference here, though, is that they actually did talk about that they have legitimately been having a whole team working on leagues for the past 6 months.
Hold on. Now, before we get to leagues, they do say one thing that is awesome. They admit that they fucked up. And that they actually have hired an entire team of outside.
You know what? A team only has.
Yeah, we just discussed that last time, though.
Did they? Okay, well, I didn't. It wasn't so pronounced, but there's a set of outside developers rebuilding it from the ground up, and they're actually making headway. So, yay! I will say this: I did load up the brand new closed beta version, and the collection screen loaded in 3 seconds.
Holy shit!
Yeah, and I have like 17,000 cards or something. So that was pretty fucking impressive. And that was from a clean install. So that was pretty cool. It is way more responsive in the collection screen. I have yet to duel on it yet. So we'll check that out. But Ferret does bring up the point that they do mention leagues. They do talk about how complicated it is to do leagues, but you know what they don't say? They don't say that they're gonna put leagues. They say that they want to share their plans for leagues next year. So it's obviously they have a plan for leagues. What that is, I don't know.
It's an announcement plans for of an a lot announcement of a future announcement too.
I hope
which
it
is you know part for the core. But I actually really do hope that they finally pull through and give us leagues, because then we're actually seeing that. We're getting some functionality back into our client rather than every new release we lose some sort of functionality.
That would be the worst, man.
What do you mean would be the worst?
Well, if they make leagues for some other issue, like if they give us leagues but then that causes something else to break, like I don't want
No, I'm
that.
Not saying it's going to cause something else to break. What I'm saying though is pretty much ever since V2.5, we've lost a lot of functionality, and then they'll give us other stupid shit, like types of events rather than actual functions back, you know, to the client. I think the only thing that we've truly gained between V2.5 and now is the ability to do cubes, and they added popper as a and official Phantom. Filter and the pop standard popper as an official filter. Now, what I think is really stupid is, I'm not sure if you guys talked about this last week or whatnot, but they literally dropped popper from the daily event schedule.
Yeah, they've dropped a lot.
And then capped the limit, limit cap on the daily events too, which is just fucking, really, guys?
It has to do with the stability of the system. But anyway.
No, the dailies always used to work just fine. This is just them trying to regulate costs.
Look, there's a lot of conspiracy theory garbage that, like.
I'm not going conspiracy theory on your ass. I'm just saying that the dailies never crashed.
They didn't
know. It was only the premier events that had crashed, or the PTQs, you know, the huge, huge events, like 800 people events.
Who knows?
I like Magic.
Yeah, he likes that. All I know is this, that if leagues come back, I promise everyone that listens to the show and everyone who loves MTGO.
Have you met a league?
Day one. Oh, yeah. I will even bug Worth till he, like, bans me every day. Like, tell me how to get my league on there. And, God, imagine if they let us upload a little Heavy Metal logo. Bing, that'd be so wicked. Yeah. I know, right? Everyone want to join our league.
This is not Poker Stars. This is not going to happen the way you want it to. We would literally have to rush a league queue so that we could all get in the same one.
Is that how it works? Well,
like,
whatever.
Isn't that what we do with fucking?
Yep, that's exactly what we do with the cube and stuff.
Oh,
which,
so we have
a powered cube going on today.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have more than that. So speaking, if you've listened to the A-Team, there was a challenge issued by that cast to this cast. And we're going to accept this challenge. Yeah, we're accepting.
God, what the hell did you two get me into? I take a look.
It's actually...
All right, bone up on your legacy.
Yeah. Yeah, what? Someone's got to play legacy because I can't play it. But here's the plan. We don't know what we're going to do yet. And I don't think they do either, but I think
there's a few suggestions thrown out there on how we could do this, but yeah.
Well, here's the first one that I think will happen. We're going to do an 8-man cube. I don't know how we're all going to get in there, but we're going to rush. We're just going to do it, but we're going to start our own queue. We're going to get all four members of the A-Team and all four members of Heavy Meta. And I will say no more about who the fourth might be. And we're not going to put a ringer, Boosh. We're not putting a ringer. But we're going to pick someone that's, you know, an honorary fourth member of the show. There's been a couple of them. And, you know, the ones that are available.
It will be someone that has been on the cast at least. So we're not pulling, you know, Chapin to come play with us.
Patrick Chapin would never.
Fuck that. If Pat Chapin will come play on our team, I'm getting him.
But I think what we'll do is we'll do cube and we'll see who comes out there. We'll try and do some matchups if we can. Scotty said
the other one I liked that I thought would be fucking cool is if we did like the fucking, like, I think the team trios or whatever it was, where it's like we got fucking one of us playing fucking modern, one of us playing standard, one of us playing legacy, and then like we'll do a bonus round of fucking like cube, just like two guys fucking playing in the cube. No, I don't think that would really work, but we'll figure out something for the fourth guy. But we'll, I'm going to make Ferret play Legacy because me and Maddie don't know how. I'll play Modern and Maddie can play fucking Standard.
Yeah, and that's that.
It'll be
hell. I guess someone's going to end up loaning me a Delver deck.
Anyways, the thing is this. Whatever formats we come up with, it's going to be streamed. It's going to be awesome. I guarantee you that it's going to be some fun-ass matches.
Or wait a minute, we actually get to pick the formats? 100 Card Singleton calling it now. And no, not saying CH, not saying Commander. No. I'm saying 100 Card Singleton. It's a different format.
Okay, look, if Commander or any type of those formats come up, I'm out. I don't want to play. Yeah. I just can't play Commander. Yeah, I am off.
Maddie and I will proxy in some random SVU members in our stead.
Actually, here, I will.
We'll have Norbert and somebody do it.
Norb is our honorary Commander player. Mm-hmm. Or Durf. He'll just pedigree
it. Yeah, Durf and Norbs can just fucking wreck some fucking crazy Commander shit for us.
So anyways, look out for that during the holidays. Next week, we will not have an episode because it's the 25th, and frankly, we're all probably drinking and eating turkey and stuff.
Taking
so.
Care of our minions, banging our wives, making more minions. You know, hey.
Yes, pretty much. So we won't have an episode, but I will be doing some interesting stuff. I'll be hopping on and off, and I'm sure, you know, we're going to play a lot of Magic over the I assume you guys will. And what we'll do is we'll tweet. Yeah, and we'll try and tweet up and say, hey, man, you know, at, like, let's say 7 o'clock tonight for 3 hours, you know, me and Kevy, Ferret's going to pop in. We're going to be on. Challenge us. And I think I've got like 20 packs that I've won. And
you're going to gunsling some shit.
You know what? Yeah, I figure why not? Because I don't give a fuck about the packs. So
if you beat Maddie, then he'll give you a pack. And if you beat me, then I'll just dip my nuts in your drink. I don't have enough packs to lose because I'm terrible at Magic.
So loving, isn't he?
He's the best guy.
It's and I will do it in the most loving way possible. I'm not dipping my nuts into your drink as like a fucking like, you know, a negative thing. I'm just all, here you go, man. Here's a little bit of me. Merry Christmas, bitches. Merry I have so Christmas. Much eggnog on my nuts, it won't even be funny.
Yeah, I mean, we'll have a good time. Look out for us. We'll tweet. You know, if you're on Twitter, you know, that's the place to find us. But beyond that, guys, what do you think is your plans for Christmas?
Did you see the link that I just put in the fucking in the show notes, Matty?
Okay, so I'll give a little
building that is my plan for Christmas.
I'll tell you this. Who tweeted this? Someone in – I think it was Trevor Holness, was it?
Somebody tweeted
– I think so. Yeah, I've seen that on Twitter too.
This shit went fucking ape nuts. Like it went fucking crazy viral. This was it Imgur or whatever fucking post?
Yeah, I don't know. So
Hey, hold on. Can you guys hear me?
Whoa.
What the fuck?
My gosh.
Who?
Holy crap. Thank you guys so much. I've been wanting to get on the A-team for so long now. I've been trying so hard to... Wait.
Quick, hide the shroom plushie.
Wait.
Whoa. Man,
wait. Yeah, whoa. Wait a minute. Hold on. Is that Maddie, Kevin,
and your khakis and... Oh, that was...
Jack, you garbage. You hot garbage.
Is this Maddie, Kevy, and Ferret?
Yeah, you dialed the wrong number.
This is a big fucking Jobin orgy right here.
Yeah, so this is that other lesser Canadian podcast, I suppose.
Yeah, this is the A-Team fan cast.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well,
we only have one Canadian in here.
Well, you know, we here at American Judge Podcast, by you know, if you reach a certain number, you've made it, and you guys are almost there. So I'm gonna let you go with your little production here, and you know, you kids keep up the good work. I really believe in you, and you know, one day, like maybe you can be as good as the A-Team.
I gotta tell you right now. You know what, LSV? Thank you so much for calling in.
Just really. You know, as a professional Magic player, I really think the one thing I should say is we need more Hawaiian shirts and less women playing Magic. And good night, everybody.
And it's going to be an episode.
There's some sort of backstory to a tweet that I completely missed for him to say that.
Nope.
No, LSV.
That's the beauty of Jack Poir. He just says whatever the fuck he wants to.
No, I understand, but I was just like, maybe there's a backstory that he was thinking that LSV shot off some smart-ass comment like that.
No, I have no idea, but LSV is really rude. I don't know what's up with that guy. But back to our story. There is an air hockey table that someone has drilled holes in and put cups in, and then they basically play beer pong. It's almost like air hockey, but with beer pong cups, which is amazing. Yep. Now, here's what's hilarious. So when I saw this, I almost shit my pants because when I was a kid, I had that exact air hockey table. When I was 11 years old, we drilled holes in the ends of the boards exactly like that. But we played with golf balls, and it was awesome.
Maddie was a fucking raging alcoholic when he was a kid.
No, we didn't play for booze. But I remember, like, I was like, "Holy shit, that's such a cool idea!" But That looks awesome, man.
Yeah, alcohol hockey. You just drill fucking, was it, like six holes fucking down at the fucking end where the goal would go to drop your cups in, and then you just play fucking air hockey, but like beer pong style.
Now, see,
and
guys,
I'm sure most of you
part...
have probably seen this on the internet anyway, but that's what I'm building, or that's what my plans for the holidays are.
Kevin, here's the part that Maddie's not admitting. The reason he drilled the holes in the table like that is because that was Canadian Pog.
No. don't even start, you piece
He's
of shit.
Playing Canadian Pogs.
You know, instead of making stacks, they're just sitting there playing air hockey with the Pogs.
Oh, Pogs, Pogs, Pogs are fucking garbage. Here's an interesting,
did you guys say, like, back when, like, all of us Americans were playing Pogs fucking for that 20 minutes back in the fucking 90s? Were you up there in Canada? Were you guys just doing it with hockey pucks?
No, the sad thing is Pogs was worldwide, man. Like, it was up here too for 6-7 months. And
you know, I actually recently found a fucking, like, my mom brought over a fucking bunch of my old shit, and I was like, God damn it, Mom, I don't have room in my fucking garage for this. But there's a tube of fucking Pogs in there. I'm like, and you couldn't bring over my fucking old Magic cards that I used to have back in the fucking 90s. You bring over the fucking tube full of Pogs. Thanks, Mom. Now fuck off. But then again, she did bring me a stack of cards that had a fucking dual land in it. So, yeah, I guess that works.
You gotta win, win, when you can, man. When and where you can, you do this.
God damn right.
I will.
She's already ahead at this rate, dude.
She's way ahead. Because if she brought over, even if she happened to bring over all my old fucking cards, there might be one or two fucking, like, decent fucking cards, you know, as far as nowadays goes. But yeah, I know I didn't have any fucking dual lands back then, so whatever.
So let's talk quickly about this spoiler for Born of the Gods that.
Oh yeah.
That half-ass spoiler, I don't know what it is. I don't even know if it's real. It's a speculation thread on MTG Salvation. Mm. Have you heard about this, Ferret?
No, I have not. Like I said, this past week I've pretty much just done the whole I don't exist cuz I just really needed the time out.
Shh, you were dealing with the Santa issue.
I know I was dealing with that, but I needed the time out from Matt.
Yeah,
jeez.
I needed the time out.
It's called You Took a Medina. Just be honest with yourself.
A Medina. Now,
I was not taking a Medina. I was actually very interested in a very interesting spoiler that apparently a bunch of people were telling me is real, and some information keeps changing on it. But I will give you the gist of it in a second here. So,
girls, that would mean that Maddie is pulling up the browser.
No, the browser's open. It's just the goddamn tweet.
That page.
The tweets. There's so many tweets. Oh, my God.
Oh, y'all got tweets? Sweet.
Tweets, man, tweets. So here it is somewhere. Fuck, I cannot find it. where the fucking hell is it?
This is how you run a successful number one fucking Canadian podcast, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, here it is. So there's apparently a black card that has come out, and it basically, fuck, I can't find it anywhere. Where is this? Jason Alt.
Jesus Christ, I will find this thing.
Here, hold on. There will have to be an editing thing.
Yeah, you had better not edit any of this.
I won't edit none of it. I don't care. Okay, here it is. Little, okay. So apparently we have a new creature. Okay, it's a black creature. Cost 3 and 1 black. When it enters the battlefield, you scry 3. Then you reveal the top 3 cards. You choose 1, put it in your hand, but you lose life equal to its casting cost. So,
okay. So wait a minute. You scry 3, choose 1, put it in your hand.
Well, I think they've got the wording wrong. So I believe what happens is you scry 3, then you draw the card off the top of your deck, and you lose life equal to its cost.
Yeah, I'm sure that's probably what it is.
Right.
You know, honestly, that casting cost could probably even be a common.
And it's, well, no, they're saying it's a rare, and it's a, oh, they're saying it's a mythic rare. And they're saying it's a
mythic.
And it, yeah. And it,
some big ass, like.
1-3. 1-3 body. So that's what they're saying. A lot of people,
that can't be a mythic. A 1-3 for 4 mana, scry 3, draw okay. card, pay, and you know, no. I'm calling faults unless it's like a common or uncommon.
Well, Evan Irwin thinks this is the next thing since sliced bread, so. I personally don't think it's amazing, but you know, maybe I'm wrong, but for four mana, and this is where I got into a bit of an argument, I don't, everyone's like, oh, this is an automatic replacement in mono black control. I'm like, no, it's not. Why the fuck would I want this? A four mana? So I'm not going to cast, Erebos. I'm going to cast this to go search up a removal spell.
I'm sorry. Why? In that slot, I would just rather go three mana, read the bones, draw two, lose two life, and scry two. Sorry. Eat shit and die, people.
Right. Because the thing is, if I lose life to the casting cost, that means, you know, I need Hero's Downfall, that's three life. So, exactly, Read the Bones is almost the same. So maybe it isn't, maybe Scry 3.
Read the Bones is even better. It's
yeah,
Scry
it is.
2, then draw 2.
Yeah, and you don't, you only lost 2 life, so you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
I don't know, I mean
yeah, you lose a 1-3 body and you can't blink it, but fuck.
You also get to draw the card
there's
instead of just...
There's too many blink effects in this format anyway.
Okay, here's the thing. What is that 4 mana cost flying vampire that you draw a card and he was from Ravnica? Dustmantle Seer? Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
So that card was basically Dark Confidant in a 4/4 Singer Vampire form. It sees zero play. So why would I play this and not that card? Right? Like I think you guys are just missing the point that what a 4 mana cost. If this was 2 mana, different story. That changes the game.
Oh, even if they made him okay, honestly, let's go this route. Even if they made him 4/4 that costs 4 and had that ability, then yes, I will believe you he's a rare or mythic. But
see,
at a 1/3 body,
is that
no.
Is that what fucking it changed? Because like the spoiler that I just fucking dug it up. The spoiler that I fucking saw for it fucking earlier on Twitter is it's fucking black and 1 for a 1/3 with those abilities.
Well, on here,
okay,
let's,
so
you know what? Let's go to
just
mythic
2 mana casting cost then.
Yeah.
Let's go to Mythic Spoil. Let's just go there and see what the fuck he... Cause
see
he's
if got anything. Because this one, when it got brought up to me, it was fucking black and one, fucking a 1/3 creature, Seraphinex. When Seraphinex enters the battlefield, scry 3, then reveal the top card of your library and put that card into your hand. You lose life equal to its converted mana cost.
Okay, so you're
two,
right.
I could see that being rare with that ability. I suppose that could be a rare play.
And I think the part of it too is it's not just scry 3 and you know you draw your top card. The downside is you have to reveal it too.
Okay, so anyways, even at 2. So at 2 mana, like it's basically a 1/3 body that has a Read the Bones attached to it, that shittier Read the Bones. So I don't know. Oh, if it was a 3/1 with Intimidate, yeah. It's just a 1/3 in black?
Okay.
I don't get
the thing. 1/3 at 2 mana, I'll believe that being a rare, okay? 1/3 at 4 mana?
No, it's a 2 yeah. mana. Sorry, I got it wrong, because they were talking about that it was originally a 4 mana, but now it's apparently at the end of the post, people are getting it correct. Anyways.
Oracle of Salvation?
No, Seer of Phoenix.
Seer of Phoenix.
Seer of
okay.
Phoenix.
Yeah. I mean, in all honesty, it's cool, I guess. It's another Bob variant, so kind of cool, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I could see, I don't know, applications for it, I guess. Like, I don't know if it would be worth a fucking, like my red-black burn deck. I'd set up my fucking draws, but then again, you know, set up my draws. I'm not going to take much of a fucking hit for it because I'm only going to, you know, likely I'm only going to fucking get hit for fucking one. And, you know, be able to set up what I want. You know, if I need land, if I need fucking whatever, you know, it revealing it's not going to matter because it's like, oh, look, it's another 3 damage fucking spell.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. I mean, if it's true, I mean, I could see applications in my fucking burn deck with it, but I don't even know if it'd be worth including.
Here's the thing that we have to admit, right? Like me and Kevy, well, I don't know. Is Kevy was really hyped. Blood Scrivener or Scrivener. that card, like, okay, it looks so good, but it doesn't play. So like, you have to honestly look at this card and be reasonable. Like, if it is true and it's a 2 mana scry draw kind of Bob variant type card.
Scry 3 for 2 mana is quite powerful.
It is. But I'm saying like it sounds really cool in Cube. Sounds really good in Legacy maybe, but in Standard.
It's gonna be amazing in both standard and in limited play.
Yeah,
so one thing for two is going to stop a lot of the aggressive decks out there. Or maybe not stop, but it'll slow them down, which then allows your control to get going.
It's
so
still,
it's deep play.
It's still the damage that it deals you sounds like, ugh.
No,
like
it's not that. Okay, what you're looking
at. Well, because you're also choosing what that damage is. I mean, if you're in a situation, it's not like a fucking, you're going to flip that card, like fucking, like, was it Blood Scrivener? Wait, no, Blood Scrivener, well, you only take one. Oh, no, like with Bob, where, like, you're blindly fucking flipping that card and taking the damage. I mean, Bob works great in, you know, shit like fucking my deck where everything costs
one. But it's every turn.
But what I'm saying with this is, like, you're not blind flipping.
It's only the one turn. It doesn't
matter. No, he's talking about with Bob it is.
Oh, okay. Well, here's the thing about this card, too, that you guys are missing. It's literally scry 3, draw 1. Okay, so that means you get to set up the top 3 cards of your deck. Even if you don't do the draw and lose life, that's still actually a good card.
Yeah, but you have to. You
draw
the cards,
you have to draw.
No,
and
I
lose
think
the
you
life.
Have to. But what I'm saying is, even if it was just scry 3,
put a land on top,
put a 1/3 into play, scry 3 for 2 mana.
Right.
That's actually still above the curve at the moment.
Well,
and then you get, remember
that's
too,
insane.
Every 1/3, it's going to be preventing enough damage that it'll make up for the damage that you take.
Yeah, actually, you know what? You probably are correct. The 1/3 body is probably extremely relevant.
Early game
is. It's kind of like an Oracle, isn't it? That blue card? It's almost like a super
powerful.
Oracle, I
think, only scries 2.
Right, but you get to draw the card, so.
Yeah, exactly. And it replaces itself. It cantrips.
Maybe. Here's another spoiler that I think is actually more impactful for Standard. Is there was a tint, Kevy. I don't know if you heard about this, but there was I think it was Merrill who tweeted that there is a card that's from a past block that is an artifact. That is a musical instrument.
I already know.
Yeah, and basically, it has to be Springleaf Drum, which, if you don't know what that is, Kevy, that's a one mana artifact. And basically, that when it hits a table, any untapped creature you control taps for mana of any color. So, instant super fixing.
Yeah, no shit. Ooh.
Yeah, which sounds fucking insane for Devotion, insane for Ramp. I actually think that's a really good fit for the block. And I hope they reprint it. I think that's sick. I can't wait to play
it. Did he say that it is a fucking a musical instrument, or it has to do with a musical instrument?
Well, it's a functional reprint of a card that would be a obviously, it's not going to be called Springleaf Drum. Maybe.
Well,
I
get that. I just mean, like, I'm wondering if it's Springleaf Drum, or, like, you got things like fucking, like, Elvish Piper and shit like that. If it's actually like a musical instrument, or if it's
Well, to give you an idea, Salvation and Mythic Spoiler both have it up as Springleaf Drum in fact the card that's getting reprinted. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, Elvish Piper. I believe Elvish Piper is tap put card from your hand on the battlefield.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Put creature from hand in battlefield. Yeah,
I
you know
love
which is
that
interesting
card.
That
card's fucking awesome.
That card is one of
okay then. Have you guys ever heard of Quicksilver Amulet?
Yeah, of course. That was in F12.
Yeah, I was like, that's better than Piper. And that didn't see any play, so yeah,
no,
try
it's
again.
Not. It's not. Why is it? Hold on. Whoa, it's not better than Piper. It's shittier than Piper. You pay four mana. Because you pay four mana to drop it, then four mana to tap it. It's eight mana. Piper, you pay four mana, next turn it's free.
No, it's not free. You still got to pay.
No, you don't, dude.
I think you pay like one green, but I mean it's three mana less. But here's the fact of the matter anyway.
No,
I think if I'm not mistaken, Piper can only be done as a sorcery. Quicksilver can be done as an instant. Quicksilver is an artifact. Piper is a creature.
No, wrong. Piper is it can be done at any time. It's just one green tap. You may put a creature card from your hand on the battlefield. I have like 18 of these cards. I love this fucking card. This card is sick. I bought so many of these cards when Rise of the Eldrazi was first spoiled, and we saw Kozilek, Butcher of Truth. I remember that was the first card they spoiled, and I'm like, yep. And I was on eBay.
Oh shit!
I bought 25 of this.
Never mind, you're right. It is as an instant on Piper, but Piper's still a fucking 1/1. Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
I mean, you piss on its foot and it dies.
and you know what?
Hey, so does Bob. But Bob's a card.
Well, the sad thing is that I realized in my brewing, my brand new baby brewing stage, that it sounds really good in practice, and then in a game, it never lives. Yeah. It eats bolts and doom blades and everything, man. That card is
good fucking target.
Yeah. And Kevy, to go back on the Bob thing, he's 2 mana.
Yeah.
And gains you cards. That's card advantage. This is 4 mana and only takes a card from your hand and puts it into play.
Right. I get you.
Or actually 5 mana, because you got to invest the mana to tap it, too.
Stop shitting on my Piper Ferret.
Yeah, Piper's fucking awesome.
Anyways, I mean, the good news is we don't have any real Born of the Gods spoilers. We don't know shit. We know that we're going to get into demigods and stuff, so... hopefully, I believe, we should see mid-January spoilers start coming, right? Maybe even sooner, right? Maybe January 1?
Maybe. Nice. Oh, at any rate.
Yes.
I'm not sure if I've said this on cast yet, but I've been having arguments on Twitter lately. My call is after the, Return to Ravnica dual lands taken, rotate out.
Yeah.
That we're going to end up getting the Onslaught fetch lands.
That, I mean, isn't even a big call. That makes a lot of functional sense with what's going on. I only argue is this. They don't like the fetches. There's too much shuffling. So maybe development is like, we don't want...
It's not going to add any more shuffling than what we have now. We already have the modern...
In standard.
No, it's not. It does... Okay, let's put it this way. If the fetches... If you only have one set of 5 fetches in standard, and that is, and they can only grab basic lands... It's not going to affect standard nearly as much, because if you remember Zendikar, and the whole set was focused around that, it wasn't even that bad.
It was horrible. What are you talking about? Do you have any? I played through that shit with a physical standard deck. It was insane how much fucking cracking. I got to tell you, I'd shuffle my deck 8 or 9 times a match. That was insane. Insane. It was way too much. I don't know, dude. In modern, it's like... Turn 1, crack. Turn 2, crack. Turn 3, it's so much shuffling. Modern, it's fine. I'm just saying in standard, I love the idea of having...
Then put it in a core set. Because see, the
it'll never go in a core set. Never.
You know, they're going to come back, and they're going to give us another set of...
Yeah, brand new
core set lands eventually. Okay? And I don't think that they're necessarily going to keep a... Now, here's one of the two things. The next set that they're going to do core set lands one of three ways they're going to go with core set lands. Either they're going to give us a reprint of the Innistrad ones.
I hope they don't.
Well, no, I'm just saying because they're very similar to like the M10 lands, except for the enemy ones. Okay.
Good
so we're either going to get like a reprint of those. We're just not going to get lands in a core set anymore, which is a distinct possibility. Or if you wanted to, you could just have us get the Onslaught fetches for 1 year. Because if you think about it, the core sets rotate quicker than any other set.
So here's I think what we're going to do for the rest of the cast. Let's talk about concepts that we want to see happen next year. And right off of what Ferret says is, I think to improve the core set, what would blow people's minds is don't have any fancy...
Stop doing them.
Oh. No, don't do that. No. Do them because they are beneficial. I'm just saying, here's a great idea. Make... the regular lands, full art. That's it. Imagine if you did that just for the next core set. Don't put dual lands. Just do that.
I would counter argue you here, Matty, for one thing. You want to keep full art lands special, so you probably would only want to do it like once every 5 or 6 years to do full art lands.
Guess what? We're on 5 years.
Okay, well, here's a question for you.
Zendikar.
Prior to Zendikar, how long had it been since Unglued, I think it was the last one?
6 years.
Or Unhinged?
6 years. Pretty sure. Anyways, it's once every 5 years. I've read Marl's blog when he says that they don't want to do it all the time. But I'm just saying, next year, here's an idea. If you want to spruce up the core set to something neat, do that. Because average players... It's just in the land. Number one, the card art looks so different. It's a physical land. It looks like an art. I think they would get that it's a land. I think it would actually make it a lot easier when you're holding your cards to know what the card is. I watch my kids play, and that's a one thing with their small hands. It's hard to see all the cards. And, you know, when you're only seeing like a sixth of the side of the card when, you know, it's in your hand –
right.
If you had a full art land, it's easy to see. I don't know. That's my thing.
Well,
do something.
Now, when they did them in Zendikar, they were like placed in packs, right, or whatever. Oh, yeah. They weren't like all the basic lands. All the basic lands in Zendikar weren't fucking full art lands, right? They were like
they were all other than in the what the hell is it called?
It was in Worldwake. They made the same art, but in non.
No, it wasn't. No, it was in Worldwake because Worldwake didn't have any lands. Trying to think, fucking.
Yeah, they did.
What did they call it? The fat packs were the only ones that had the small art.
No, they weren't. Really?
Yes, really.
Then how come the smaller art ones aren't worth more than the fucking full art ones?
They are online.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I believe they are in paper, too. I could be wrong on the paper, but I don't follow paper as much. But yeah, they are online. Online, the small art Zendikar lands are like fucking $2.50 each compared to the $1 each on the...
Oh, that's kind of funny.
Or, sorry, it's like 10 cents.
Well, what I was getting at with this, and I actually didn't know that. That's kind of cool. Is doing it like, you know, along those lines, like, you know, replacing a fucking, you know, like the whatever fucking percentage they do foils or fucking whatever, just replacing them that way. You know, run your normal fucking basic lands and then fucking throw like, you know, one
like a rare land. Like a rare basic land kind of thing, like one every
yeah, something like like that. So that because you know, rather than just flood, you know, flood this fucking core set with, you know, just all of the lands are fucking full art lands. You know, make them a little more rare.
Yeah, but you know the problem with that, Kevy?
Confused.
Is to do that, you would have to have one of your four lands on each of basically the only way you could do that.
You could do that
if you change one of the four lands, because you know how each set of lands has four different arts. Right. You'd have to change one of the four of those to be the full art, or you'd have to make like a completely new printing process, which I don't think they're going to go that route.
Dude. Anyways, look, guys, you're overcomplicating. The whole thing is, all I'm saying is,
no, I get that. Just like you were saying, though, like what Ferret was just saying, though, like that. I don't see why that wouldn't work perfect. You do fucking,
I would too.
You know. You do three arts for the fucking land, and then the fourth one, instead of doing another fucking regular basic land with a fourth fucking picture, you take whichever of the four for each fucking color that you guys think is going to look the best, or commission it that way as fucking full art, and just do that fourth one as a full art, and then fucking one in every four lands is going to be full art. They're going to be more rare than fucking, you know, just basic fucking lands, and there you go.
I love it. I just want to see freaking full art lands come back because I love them. I think they're awesome. But anyways, here's a question I have for you guys because we didn't get to it with TSG, and it was one of the good questions.
There was something that we didn't get to with TSG. That was like a 3.5-hour cast. Holy shit.
Oh, yeah. By the way, apparently I was reading Twitter comments that they loved the fact that you guys hit the 3-hour mark again.
Yeah, it was 3.5.
Yeah, they were loving that.
It was our longest episode, I believe, besides, I don't know. Fuck, I don't know. I don't have the exact metrics. Someone go look that up. But here is the question, which is, what is your top, or I guess we can just do it to this. What was your favorite card, single card of 2013, and what was your least favorite card in 2013?
Oh, shit.
Think about that one. That I'll go first while you guys think.
Yeah, because I got to think.
Okay, what sets were in 2013? Was Innistrad part of it or no? No, it's not.
It was Avacyn.
No.
And then, No.
Because that all just rotated. Oh, it was like Return to Ravnica shit,
Gatecrash,
right?
Gatecrash was in January.
Yeah, it was Gatecrash, Avacyn, M13, and Theros.
No, not Avacyn. Gatecrash, Dragon's Maze.
Sorry, Dragon's Maze.
Theros.
And Return to Ravnica, right?
And no, Modern Masters.
Return of Ravnica was last year.
Oh,
because we were just on the last episode, we talked about January is when Gatecrash came out. So Gatecrash forward are the sets that came out.
Never mind. Then you're right.
Also, remember, there's the From the Vault 20. There's the Commander sets. Heroes versus Monsters.
Okay, wait a minute. So we're saying even out of the From the Vaults and all that?
Mm-hmm.
Things that were released.
It's your favorite card, man. Your favorite single card. Now, I take that as what is your favorite card that maybe you probably played with, because that's kind of like – it's not just, hey, I like the art in that card, which would be kind of stupid. Now, I went back and forth. My initial pick initially was going to be Scavenging Ooze. I thought that card just – I've been waiting for that card to get a playset of them. played with that card. I love it. I like green, white. Love what that card does. Love its implications in Modern, Legacy, etc. Having played the card, it's amazing. But the card that I'm going to choose is a card that I wasn't excited to play with and didn't give a shit about.
I think I already know what it is. Is it a land, Maddie?
It is. It's beautiful.
That's what I thought.
I have to say,
I played with enough Nashira's Factories. I'm like, yeah, it has to be the land.
It's my pick for the most surprising card. Now, I know a lot of people are like, of course it's fucking amazing. Well, I didn't get to play with Mutavault the first time it came out, and I played with Wuldreg Manlands. I should have known better that Manlands are great. I even have,
here's the thing though, Maddie. If you would have ever played with like the M10 man, or not M10, fucking, the 10th edition Manlands and stuff. Have you ever played with those before?
Is that the one with Treetop Village in it?
Yes, Treetop Village and like Fairy Concave and all that.
Yeah.
Those aren't not even nearly as good as like Mutavault or the Zendikar.
I play Treetop Village in my Modern green white deck. Which is amazing, and that's funny because I was
Treetop Village was the best one out of that set. Yeah.
But here's the thing. Initially, I was expecting Mutavault to be a blank, like, hey, it's going to be indexed. But it is so good, like, when you play with it in so many different strategies, and I love tribals. So that's my card of 2013 is Mutavault. And I did pull a foil one, so... Yeah,
sweet.
I don't know
what
the fuck.
What's your least favorite card?
My least favorite card is very, very easy card. If you listen to this cast, it's very clearly evident, and that is Chandra. And here is why. I only pick this card, and I know a lot of people say I'm hating on it too hard. I hate this card because you based a set around it. And in my opinion, it didn't do anything. It still doesn't do anything. And it is not what anyone wanted out of red, and I don't really think that it's a very safe approach at attempting to give red card draw. And I think they could have been bolder. I think it's not going to wreck anything. But I'm just disappointed that where this is our fourth or fifth Chandra, and I'm like, you know what? It's enough. I don't want to see any more Chandras. Stop it.
Yeah, they hyped her up way too much for little payoff. Now, you know what my least favorite, though, has to be? Pack Rat.
Oh my god, what? Hold on, I have to interrupt you. Honorary favorite card of the year is Pack Rat. That card was shit. No, hold on.
Have you ever played against that in fucking, in Limited?
Okay, I have to interrupt you. Okay, huge, huge shout out to fucking Jesse Smith Smitty. If you listen to this cast, even Kevin knows, he tried to break Pack Rat, and there was a spike when Pack Rat was 5 cents, and then it went to like 35 cents, and then it just went back down. And this was like 6-7 months ago. Anyways, he saw how good Pack Rat was, and it didn't do anything.
It didn't do anything until Devotion came out.
I don't think Devotion has anything to do with Pack Rat.
I think it does. It does because fucking Devotion is what caused Mono Black Control to come back,
Kevin,
and fucking made it an actual good card. That card was worthless except
Kevin,
for
it's not even that. It's
Devotion.
Not the Devotion. It's the card draw that Black got. Erebos and Underworld Connections is what made Pack Rat's
busted, and that's great. And if all we got was Erebos and now we're kind of getting it because without Erebos and Underworld Connections, like Mono Black would still be what everybody that wanted Mono Black to be, but it wasn't, has always been for the longest fucking time. It just wasn't around. It wasn't there. But now we're in a fucking because of the few cards that have gotten printed, they now.
Okay, but Underworld Connections has nothing to do with Devotion.
Hold on.
No. What I'm saying is, Devotion is what made that strategy actually fucking viable.
So here, with Kevy saying, and I agree with him, it's not like using Nykthos to cast mana. What he's saying is, Devotion enabled this deck to occur, and then it is morphed into this black control deck that really doesn't use Nykthos or black mana symbols.
It's not a devotion thing.
I'll go the other route though. You can easily remove Gary. Mm-hmm. Erebos and Nykthos, okay?
Yep.
And you would still have a black-based control deck. Now, you wouldn't have the end game that Gary gives you.
That's what we're saying, Farron. We're saying
you were saying that Devotion is what enabled that deck to even become a thing and for people to even look at it. And you're telling you you're wrong. People
no, he's
still
not
looking at Black Control.
Dude, they wouldn't. He's right.
Why were people not playing Black Control? Like, well, people that were winning playing Black Control before this then, before Devotion came out. Why were they not playing Black Control?
Because you didn't have that card draw.
It was also Heroes Downfall. Let's not forget that.
Heroes Downfall had a lot to do with it too.
Anyways, guys, the point is, I've said it. Pack Rat has impressed me to no end, even more than Mutavault. In all honesty,
I'm not saying that it's not a powerful.
How can you hate that card?
Is it too powerful?
Oh, interesting view. He hates it because
that is
stupid.
That is actually not what I expected.
I know. I didn't. You took us on a tangent for no reason. You fucking.
It's just all because, man, that card's really fucking good.
No, it's just. I'm sorry, but it's lazy design.
Oh my. Okay, now you're insulting developers. That's my job.
That's what we do.
I think it's good design. I think it's excellently done. I think in limited, you are correct that it is too powerful in a limited environment. But
it should have never been printed for limited reasons, if nothing else.
Okay, here, I'll just say this. Do you see a future for Pack Rat in standard beyond what it is now? Because if it's so good, like Snapcaster, like think about this, Snapcaster Mage, because, okay, well, check this out. So
I think Pack Rat is a good card in what's going on right now, but I don't really see it. Like, Snapcaster is one of those cards that is fucking, has so much utility to it, it's ridiculous. Like, I mean, that card can be fucking shoved into any deck that runs blue for the most, well, I mean, anything that runs blue with instants and sorceries, but Pack Rat is a lot more corner case than Snapcaster is. And so I see, you know, with what we have right now, fucking Pack Rat is good. Yes.
Okay, so check
but
this out.
If you were to try to stick Pack Rat in any other fucking deck with black in it that isn't running the strategies that are dominant right now, I don't see it being a valuable card.
Okay, check this out.
Okay, so you could put Pack Rat. Okay, let's put it this way. If you would have reprinted, instead of Erebos, Phyrexian Arena,
mm-hmm.
Pack Rat would still be a thing.
That's a difference. Yeah. Anyways, guys, Phyrexian Arena, come on now. Here's the thing.
Like, what do you mean?
Oh, they have Underworld Connection.
Sure. Commercial plug, Face Games. I just got 2 Phyrexian Arenas yesterday.
You bastard.
Did
you get the
I didn't want to run 4 because that's a little too much.
All right.
But,
well,
I got my second and third, so.
I'll tell you what my spec targets that I ended up getting from Face to Face Games was.
What's that?
4 Hollowed Fountains, 4 Steam Vents, 1 Breeding Pool.
Smart. Old art or new art?
It's the new stuff.
Okay.
Just it was
no. That's definitely good spec wise. No, like mine had Phyrexian Arena had nothing to do with fucking the stuff that's going on in black right now. That's my fucking. Casual.
Well, anyways, here let's finish what we started because fair. Yes. What is your most favorite card?
The favorite card to come out this year. That's a hard one. I'm gonna be the asshole here, and I'm gonna say Hymn to Toric.
That's cool.
Why? Because
it's a reprint. It's got good art though.
I actually much prefer the Howling Wolf art from back in.
Ice Age.
That's not Ice Age. That's actually what the hell is that one set?
That's right. Alliances.
It's Fallen Empires.
Oh, Fallen Empires. That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Oh,
because
yeah.
See, that's the thing. They had 4 different arts for every common back then, which was crazy for that set. But, yeah. No, this always been one of my favorite cards for some stupid reason. I thought it was great that they brought it back.
You know what I love? I love that card, Feast of the Unicorn. With the unicorn head on the table.
Oh, that's interesting. But no, if you wanted to go back into saying something that was actually standard legal this year.
Sure.
Then I'll have to kind of agree with you in the fact of either Mutavault was my first choice, but obviously we're not going there. And second choice was kind of had to agree with you also on, the Scavenging Ooze, so can't really go there. But I'm going to have to say Grey Merchant. Because Grey Merchant actually brought Mono Black back in Pauper.
I never even thought about Pauper, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's awesome.
Jesus Christ, I wouldn't want to play Pauper. Mono Black control.
Come on, you know what? You and me can play a game.
All right, maybe. I got holiday time, so we'll hook it up. Kevy, what is your favorite card? Actually, your least favorite first.
Well, actually, first, I got to give an honorable mention because it splits right down the middle of, like, I love the card and I hate the card. It's because I never had any interaction with it before, but fucking Tangawire from the Vault 20. been playing a lot of paper with fucking Daniel lately in his fucking Esper control list. And it's – that card is a pain in the fucking ass. Oh, my God. But at the same time, it's one of those things where, like, as it happens, you're like, you motherfucker. But at the same time, you're like, God damn, that card's good. I have to throw that honorable mention out there because I had never really had any interactions with Tangawire before From the Vault 20 came out. And it was, you know – he bought one.
Yeah, no, I remember us talking on about From the Vault 20, and I was like, yeah, it's going to be Tanglewire and Jace that keeps the price up. And you're like, what the fuck do you mean, Tanglewire?
What the fuck is Tanglewire? What is that? But no, and that's the thing, too. It's one of those cards where, like, when I read it, I was just like, whatever. That seems too complicated. Yeah, it seems too complicated for me to fucking give a shit about it all. But, oh, my God, does that fucking... And as far as flavor goes, my God, I don't think that there's been a more flavorful card that I've seen because it's like, Jesus Christ, I feel like I'm trapped in fucking barbed wire right now.
It hurts.
This is fucking ridiculous. I'm moving forward, but very fucking slowly. Yeah. Let's see. So now my fucking least favorite card, that's a hard one. I gotta say, I think, and this is just for fucking personal reasons, this has no reflection on the fucking, how the card works itself, but you guys remember my rant about fucking Xenagos?
Yeah.
I'm still pissed about that.
still don't like Xenagos?
I'm sorry, I know we shouldn't be interrupting, but I'm going to. You know what my least favorite, or actually, I'll say most favorite, depending on how we're going?
Okay. What's that?
It's called Daggers Rurik.
What?
What?
Rurik Thar.
Oh,
Rurik Thar. Yeah. you know what? That is daggers right there, you fucker.
No, I don't even mind Rurik Thar compared to fucking just Xenagos pissed me off. And if you want to hear the rants, go back to that fucking episode. It should have printed two fucking green and fucking red planeswalkers like right in a row. But whatever. I think I was more upset about that than I was Tybalt. favorite card, like, I gotta say, as far as a card, you know, it's like, you know, it's been printed, of course, it's a fucking reprint, but, Baleful Strix. I love that card almost as much as
Baleful
I love
Baleful Strix. Come okay. on, man.
No, because if you're going with Baleful Strix,
well,
I would
so
just easily be going,
good point.
Going with, the new Merfolk that's untouchable, you know,
true
the
name.
Mini Progenitus, true name. Yeah. So,
well,
no.
Okay, my reasoning for going with Baleful Strix is because that's, like, one of my new fucking favorite cards.
All right, I'll give you that.
I didn't want to chicken shit out and pick, you know, a fucking yet another reprint. But, like, I think my favorite card, it, you know, that's been printed this year is that. Because that card, I had it in the fucking, like, the Plane Chase deck, the Vela the Nightclad Plane Chase deck. And I was just like, my God, this card just seems way too good. But, you know, of course, it's not fucking modern legal or anything like that. It's just in the fucking Plane Chase deck as I looked into it later. And I was like, oh, okay, I get it. You know, that's probably why it was printed in something like that, because this card just seems way too good. But at the time, I wasn't even fucking concerned with fucking blue and black at all anyway. But I was like, God damn, that seems awesome. Then that's what I've been playing lately is blue and black. And so as I've gotten into that, that card is so fucking good. It's retarded.
Another
one that, like, an actual fucking standard legal reprint that it segues into that, which is in the fucking deck too. Another card I've really started to fall in, it's a reprint, but it's fucking standard legal, is Ratchet Bomb. Fucking.
Okay. I was actually going to ask you, have you tried playing with Thoughtseize at all?
Yeah, I'm running Thoughtseize in that deck, Thoughtseize and Inquisition. It all depends, like, sideboard wise. I'm running Thoughtseize, Inquisition, and Appetite for Brains. It really depends, like, on what ends up in the main deck and sideboard. You know, like, Daniel's deck, I don't really even need Inquisition, because Daniel's deck is a fucking Esper control deck, so I'm much more concerned about the four and above. And then, of course, Thoughtseize is awesome. But Ratchet Bomb, I'm going to sound like fucking a new kid, but I just never really saw the potential of Ratchet. I mean, I realized it was a decent card. You know, I was like, oh, okay, cool. I see what it does. I understand what it does. That's fine. But, like, it just, like, that card has got so much fucking flexibility. It's fucking amazing. Like, I love that card. So
it is. It is a fun card. I've got a huge
boner for Ratchet Bomb right now. And you know what else is crazy? Not a single fucking red card in all of that.
That is interesting.
I'm a Magic player.
I appreciate that, Kevin. I love that. You got to branch out. I will say I like the new art over the old art of Ratchet Bomb. I think it looks cool.
Dude,
like,
I just got a fucking Korean one. Oh, it's so sick.
Sweet. Here's speaking of art. Hold on. Speaking of art. Okay, go ahead.
Kevin, go look up Glissa.
Glissa? Yeah,
I know Glissa. He knows the Glissa combo.
Okay.
That was Conley Wood's freaking ugh. I remember playing that shit. Anyways, here's a question that leads off the art, which is favorite and worst art of the set, or of 2013, guys. And so I was like, all right, well, we could touch on that one real quick. I would say my least favorite artwork of any card that has come out, man, that is a little harder than I thought, but there's two cards.
Artwork?
That, yeah. Well, like, you know, it's got to be about the artwork, right? I would say the two least favorite cards, my buddy actually managed to get a True Name Commander deck, and he busted it open. He was showing me some of the cards, so I was looking through them, and I got a good look at the True Name Nemesis artwork. And for a card that does insane shit, this looks like a fucking gremlin with a dagger. Like, it doesn't – I'm like, that's not really like this amazing protection from player kind of looking creature.
It's a gremlin with a dagger.
Yeah, I mean, that's my honorary, like, you know, that's – what's up with that shit?
So it's a gremlin that's a merfolk.
Doesn't it look like Spike from Gremlins? It just looks weird. I don't know. And that's kind of like one of the things that, like, I noticed from some of the Commander stuff. Although there is incredible artwork in it, I will say my least favorite artwork has got to be fucking, I guess, Scourge Mark from Theros.
Is this year, or you're just your least favorite fucking Magic artwork?
No, of 2013.
Oh, okay.
What do you wanted to know? I mean, I played with Theros most recently, so, like, I remember playing this in my whatever the fuck I was battling for. And that artwork is horrible. Like, it's just anatomy wise. The arm isn't built right, and there's like a big glowing snake on his arm, and it doesn't look very good. So that would kind of be one of the ones that comes to recent memory. As far as favorite artwork goes, Elspeth, Ferret's going to love this. I saw a foil Elspeth get pulled at GP Toronto. My God. That card, the art in Theros is really good, but Planeswalker art is always, like, really fucking good. And that Elspeth artwork, like, even some of the artwork for the release of Theros, that card just looks fucking great. It's bright, it's beautiful, I love it. That's, like, my favorite artwork that I've seen.
Well, I'll give my smart-ass answer for favorite artwork, having to go hands down to Bronze Sable.
How did I know he was going to pick it? All right.
Okay. Like I said, that's the smart-ass answer. But an honest answer, a card that I think that a lot of people don't necessarily think about for their art, is Sentry of the Underworld. They did a really good job with that. Like, if I got a high res of that, that could be an awesome background.
Yep.
Oh. And least favorite?
Least favorite.
That's kind of hard, because you usually kind of skip past, like, if the artwork sucks, or even if it's just like subpar, you just kind of skip past it and it doesn't stick out in memory. So it's kind of hard to pick your least favorite unless there's something that really sticks out.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll let you go ahead and go, Kevin, and then I'll look through my 4,000 cards real quick to see what I think is least favorite.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same fucking spot with the, like, the least favorite thing. I just, that's kind of hard. if the artwork sucks, I kind of just skip past it, and there's nothing that really, like, comes to mind that, you know, bothered me that bad.
The thing comes to is that in general, I'll give Magic this, that they've come a long way, and the majority of their art is actually pretty damn good. Even it may not be your taste, they do a decent job of doing it, which, you know.
Yeah, I agree.
You can't complain there.
Artwork is beyond, I mean, even in the last, like, 5 years, it's improved to the point that it's, you know, maybe 1% sucks. And that's pretty awesome. I'll take those odds any goddamn day. Oh, I will say, my least favorite artwork, now that I remembered, the Polukranos from Heroes vs. Monsters looks insane. Love that artwork. Love the look at the Hydra. Can't stand the Theros version. I just don't like it. It looks all clumped together. Hate the perspective. I hate what it looks like. It doesn't even feel like a Hydra.
I got one. Hey, go. I just finally remember. I was poring over this. I'm like, is there any artwork that stood out to me that pissed me off? Yeah, this is the Heroes vs. Monsters Sun Titan artwork. That's right.
You know what? I got you beat. Actually, now that we're going, I just remembered it. When I started looking through my stuff. Any of the fucking slivers from this year.
Oh, we forgot all about the slivers. Actually,
the
you know
slivers,
what?
Oh, yes, look it. We're now aliens.
No, we're predators.
No, because they're alien. Remember, they adapt to their environment. No, I'm sorry. They're fucking slivers. They're not the ultra alien whatever bullshit you guys are trying to make.
Whatever you guys are trying to push here.
You know what was funny? I was at the good old comic store, and I saw I think he must have been like 9 or 10, and he was building a deck, and he's got all slivers, right? And he's like, what do you think? I'm like, dude, I think this is going to be amazing. And he was like, you think so? And I'm like, yeah, I think it's going to work out really well. And then another guy's like, how could you tell that kid that fucking building slivers was a good idea? I'm like, you don't understand. This is going to be his only experience with slivers that he's going to find positive. Once he knows how to play, he's going to hate them. So let him let him have it now, bro. Like, he's going to go in about a year, and he's going to go.
That actually, like, that's, I don't want to segue out of this fucking topic, but that actually brings up that, like, something they were talking about. I was listening to the SVU cast today. And that goes along with that. Like, what they were talking about is that, you know, fostering a good environment, fostering a good, like, play environment and getting people into the game. You know, if you were the guy that was telling that kid, like, oh, yeah, that's fucking garbage, man. Slivers are fucking bullshit. The kid's all proud of the deck that he just built. And then, you know, yeah, there's one thing to, start as they're learning to, you know, you don't want to sugarcoat everything and say, oh man, that's wonderful. All of those lands in there.
Exactly, but you don't want to go shit in his Wheaties either.
Right, exactly, because, you know, if you, especially at that fucking tender spot where, like, you're just starting to kind of get into it and testing out whether you want to be a fucking lifer in this game or if you're just checking it out, if you've got some asshole that's just all, slivers are fucking stupid, what are you doing? Then they're going to be like, whatever, I guess I'm not going to play this game anymore, fuck off. But if you foster that and you're just all, yeah, that's awesome, dude, you know, have fun with that. The kid's going to learn on his own that slivers aren't that fucking good, and then he's going to move forward from there. You know, maybe he'll realize that if he wants to play a tribal deck, he should be playing elves or humans or goblins.
Well,
you know?
Well, check this out. So my friend –
hold on, bitch. I still got to get to fucking my favorite.
All right, go on. I won't sidetrack us. What's your favorite?
Honorable mention to fucking the Modern Masters version of fucking Bob, because it's me.
Oh, I can't believe I forgot about that artwork.
I love that artwork, and I still, sadly, have not got my hands on one, which kind of upsets me.
How have you not got your hands on one when you have...
Well, because they're an expensive fucking card, and I have
Does Face-to-Face have one in stock? I'll buy it for you for Christmas.
I don't know, but that would be awesome. All right, because I still have not got my hands on the fucking one of my favorite cards in Magic that has my fucking image on it, whether they knew it or not. but that's my honorable mention. By far, I think my favorite fucking artwork on a card that was released this year is fucking Ashiok, Nightmare Weaver. That art is
really
sick. Yes. Other than Baleful Strix, I love that fucking artwork too, but that doesn't count as much because it's a fucking reprint. Fucking the artwork for fucking Ashiok is amazing. I fucking love that.
But it's a little weird though without his head.
That's the fucking, it's a nightmare weaver, man.
You're like, oh, that's the fucking best part.
It's a nightmare weaver. What the fuck would you expect one of those to look like? Of course it's not going to have a face.
I don't know. It's fucking, yeah, I guess that's true. Cause you build your own nightmare. That's kind of
that cool. Shit is so fucking like, I've looked at that artwork so many times and just kind of got lost in it. I'm like, this is so fucking sick. So yeah.
So, I'm going to touch briefly on, of course, I'm one of the judges on the proxy contests. Yes. Yeah, which I'm – in all honesty, I've never actually told Josh and this, but I'm actually very privileged to be on that judge list because I'm literally blown away by what he's built. Now, I know a lot of it he'll say is, you know, oh, it's – you know, the SVU's helped and everything. But I gotta say, you know, proxy guy, like, it's you, dude. You've got a passion for this that is equal to mine in terms of, like, just putting shit out. You don't have to do this. I don't know. Like, you released a lot of stuff. You've grown this. You've made it a brand. And this last contest, has blown my fucking mind. If you haven't seen it, go check the tweets. All the new cards are up, but it was a comic themed, version this week, and I won't steal too much because I know he wants to talk about it on his next episode, but Brandon Long did a Two-Face altar for I can't remember the card because it was just, the artwork is so mind-blowing, I forgot what the fuck the card was
what
on
card
it.
What?
But it was, what he did is he split the card right down the middle of the frame. And it, not like from a graphics point of view, I'm not going to get into like crazy terms that people won't understand, but it was for Game of Chaos. That's what it was. But he split the card, and he literally rebuilt every aspect of the card.
Including the depth of it. I've seen that.
It's just like when someone, this is what he did. He not only matched Two-Face's face, he found perfect artwork. Good job, by the way. But he even cut the credit line. Like, he did details that I notice that no one ever is going to notice. And it's that type of, like, dedication to pixel perfection that I'm blown away with. So, like, Brandon, I if you get a chance, hook me up because I would like to work with you professionally because I can see, like, the time that you put in there. And I just want to shout him out because I think that stuff is stunning.
That's awesome, man. Hell yeah.
But the one that won, which – I've never even seen Adam before. I think he's new. I think it was his first contest. He did a Naturo. And it's insane. It's like a fucking page out of a manga novel. And that one is just mind blowing. So the fact that like this week we got two or three tens, like that's insane. I had to give it an 11. And this is what Proxy Guy wrote. Editor's note, 10 is the max. Maddie's 10, I guess, goes to 11, but it doesn't
goes
count.
To 11.
And I'm like, you bastard, come on, that one point would have made the difference. But anyways, it's his contest, I'm not going to say. But I will say this, everyone that contributes to that, please keep going. I think it's insane. I know Scotty's going to take a break as a judge for a while. He's a little busy, and we're going to be bringing a new judge on. I won't reveal who it is, but we're going to have a new judge come on. And if the level keeps getting this good, I mean, guys, I'll just start trying to find some more shit to throw your way because you should be rewarded for this kind of effort. It's fucking stunning. So huge shout out to what he's doing over there.
Hell yeah.
Check it out, man. And if it's up to me, if I get to pick, I think we need to do a Star Wars version and I am going to fucking not judge that week. Or month. And I'm submitting something for that one because that would be fucking sick. Star Wars Cube, let's do it.
Oh, dude, I want, like, I don't remember who it was that did him. I'm sorry, it's been a long time since I've seen him. I don't remember who it was that did him. But those Star Wars fucking lands that somebody did.
Yeah, that was,
I think it was before the contest started, was it?
Yeah, Jason Moog.
Oh, dude, those fucking lands are so sick. They're like full art fucking lands, but every one of them is fucking Hoth. Star Wars themed. Oh. But yeah, you got like Hoth, you got fucking Tatooine, you got, oh, dude, it was so fucking sick. And I would love to, at some point, have all of those lands just printed out and fucking just proxied up as fucking basic lands and just sleeve them all up, and that'll be the lands for my cube. But that seems like it'd get expensive.
I would love that. I have a question. Speaking of the proxy guy, he tweeted us a question. He says, will the cave be expanding in 2014? I assume he's talking about bringing on another member of the cast. In all honesty, we have no idea what we're doing. We fly this thing.
We barely know what we're doing while we're doing it.
I mean, like Han Solo and Chewie fly the Millennium Falcon. That's how we fly heavy meta. Just... we get in and we fucking shoot shit down, you know, but don't get cocky, kid. Don't get fucking cocky.
That's right.
We don't know. If it's something you guys want to hear, tell us. If you think that there's someone out there that we should bring on, let us know. Yeah. We're always open to any critiques
be,
you have.
Whether, well, and also whether it be fucking, you know, like talking about like a bringing on another fucking host or just fucking for guests. We're always open to ideas.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So if you know anybody, let us know. If you want us to tackle any specific topics, again, we are your show. So fans first, you tell us what you
want. And the best way to do it is to tweet the shit out of us at like 6 o'clock fucking Pacific yes. time on Wednesday. Otherwise we'll forget.
Yeah. That is the key spot. A few people, JR Time Elemental, he's realized that if he tweets a couple hours right before showtime that he gets airtime because he's smart. That's what
and I've said it before, but fucking the proxy guy and fucking Robot Large are goddamn geniuses for releasing their episode the day before the day that we're casting so that I can fucking sit there and listen to it all day and be like, I want to talk about those guys when I get on the cast tonight. If that shit came up on fucking, you know, came out on Saturday or some shit, I wouldn't even fucking remember.
Totally, man.
And not that you guys aren't memorable. I just fucking, you know, you guys know that my memory is shot.
Yeah. We all live crazy lives. It's hard to fucking keep track sometimes. But we'll do better. I mean, I have a few ideas for 2014 of what I want to do and what we want to cover. But, again...
Yeah, I think you've talked about those ideas. The soundboard, where you don't have to have me or Ferret or anybody else on anymore. Where you could just plug in our fucking shit here and there and just be like, whatever, these guys, talk about what you want to and then not have to involve us anymore so you don't have to wait for me to show up. And I think
you know, we're going to do our best. I do have unfortunate news to end the year on, but I'm not going to keep you guys waiting too long. We do have a contingency plan. Like I said last week, looking into our hoodies. You have no idea how hard I am working at this, dude, to try and get this to happen, but our supplier has disappeared. So I'm open. If anyone is out there, please help me out.
We will have hoodies by May.
Yeah, well, I'm hoping as soon as we can, whatever that is. I'm reasonable. Just hook us up if you got one. We just want to do like a black hoodie, red hoodie, something like that with a stitching. Kind of easy embroidery. Sleeve or whatever, chest. But, you know, we want something reasonable. We want good quality. If you know anyone, look it up. If not, it's back to the phone books for me. Phone books? Oh, my God. I just dated myself like old
oh,
man.
Oh, wow.
Hey, Kevin, you got
this
a quarter?
Fucking existed anymore. Yeah, you got a quarter? I got to go make a fucking phone call, eh?
I got to make a phone call, eh? You channeled your inner Canadian. You know what's...
I gotta say that because of this fucking goddamn podcast, I have become more Canadian than I've ever been in my life.
Yeah, wait a minute. How the hell does that happen when we have 2/3 American here?
Because
we're on Manna Deprived and Maddie is more Canadian than fucking 3 Americans
yes.
combined.
It is true, man. I am a very passionate Canadian. You know what? Speaking of phone books, do you have a funny phone book story? Because I do.
I don't think I've ever done anything funny with a phone book.
Okay, I've done two things that have been insane. No one actually, all these young kids won't even fucking know this, and I probably should.
What a phone book is?
Yeah, they're like, huh? What do you mean? Okay, so way back in the day, kids, there used to be these things called phone booths. Superman used to change in them, and basically you put a quarter in it, and there would be a big book. And everyone that was important in your city had a phone number in that book, so you could actually look them up. If you can believe that. one time when I was a young teenager doing troublesome things, at about, we were up really late, and it was about 5 in the morning, and we were just coming back from the hockey rink because we played all night because we jury-rigged the rink lights to stay on. And a worker came at 5 o'clock in the morning and kicked us out. And he's like, what the fuck? You guys are going to get sued for the city. And we're like, ah, whatever. We just turned the lights on. But he kicked us out. And as we were skating down the street back home, a delivery truck for the newspapers. And they used to drop skids almost of phone books for the deliverers. Or the delivery boys, right? And so a big, big truck pulls up to the corner and drops 3 skids of phone books. 3 fucking skids of phone books. And drives away. It's 5 o'clock in the morning. We're skating down the middle of the road because there's no one around. It's 5 o'clock in the morning, and this is before we would drink. But we were tired, and we're like, you know what we should do? I'm like, what? I'm like, we should make a wall of phone books in the middle of the road and see if someone hits it. So we... As crazy worker bees, we ripped these skids apart and we built a giant, like 3-foot tall wall of phone books crossing the entire road. and we hid in the bushes. Now, this is obviously never recommended and probably stupid as hell to do. We should never ever fucking do this. But the guy, the delivery truck, comes back. Okay, and he comes back, makes a left, goes right through the wall of phone books, and just like he stops the van in the middle of the street, like, what the fuck? And he doesn't know who to yell at because he's like, I was only gone like 2 minutes. Like, how the fuck did this happen? Like, who could have ripped apart us 3 skids of phone books and made a wall of phone books? And we were laughing. Oh, it was funny as shit. It was probably we shouldn't have done it, but the look on the guy's face when he just looked around, there's not a car on the street, there's not a person on the sidewalk, and he's like, what the fuck? Canadian trouble with phone books.
Phone books.
Yeah. And then there
The only fucking crazy thing I've ever done with a phone book is look up a fucking number in it and call it.
Actually, I remember one time we went around to every phone book we could find and we ripped out one page in it, the same page.
Oh,
just to like piss off that person who no one could ever call. I never find your phone number.
I can never find your phone number.
It's not, you don't exist. Oh man, but there is a few more questions.
Oh, absolutely. Let's get at those sons of bitches.
Yeah, let me see. So, Mildy Vane is requesting better stories. Yeah, Mildy Vane, we're on that. We're trying, but again.
Luke wanted to know about your Macbeth footwear.
Oh.
Kevy.
what about him?
Well, he was saying, how do they hold up? He says he works hard on the balls of his feet and destroys shoes like they're nothing.
I'd say they're like middle of the road hold up kind of that, like they're not like the most durable fucking shoes in the world or anything like that.
Kevy, we're taking now questions about product reviews that aren't even
product review. No, I'm like, I was sitting there thinking this earlier. Like I was telling, like Ferret was asking about shoes and I was tweeting him about, I was all, I exclusively buy and fucking wear Macbeths as you should too. And he's just like, why do I have a feeling you're trying to sell me on some shit? And I realize as I'm like telling Ferret, I'm like, dude, check these fucking shoes out. Cause that's all I buy and that's all I wear. And like, I realized that Macbeth should be sponsoring me or my band or something like that because I push these fucking shoes like nobody's business. But I've since I found this company years ago, it's like they're all like they're founded. The company was founded by fucking Tom DeLonge from Blink 182 and fucking some other dude. I forget who it was. But like their whole fucking goal and their whole idea and everything is it's all about like music. They're very driven by like the music scene. So I've always been really into, you know, what they do anyway. Then there's other shit that like, I think all their shoes are like fucking vegan friendly shoes. Like they don't use like fucking actual fucking leather. The glue that they use to hold the shoes together is like some sort of vegan concoction. So they're like 100% vegan fucking made. But like my whole thing is just like the message, the music and shit like that. And their shoes are fucking awesome. Like there's never been cooler shoes on the planet than these. So I always wear them and I always buy them. And so I was trying to hook Ferret up with them. As far as like durability, like they're not garbage. They don't just fall apart, but they're not like, you know, the most amazing fucking shoes in the world when it comes to durability. I mean, they're going to fall apart like any shoe would, but I wouldn't recommend like, you know, buying a pair and planning on wearing them to your fucking construction job for the next year. Cause they're not going to fucking hold up.
So we have another question from, I believe it was Brian Lebrecht, Dark Leaves. He was asking about fetch lands for speculation targets. Ferret, he wanted your advice. I told him that I wouldn't be buying fetch land for spec targets right now at MTGO just because I think
I'm never going to tell somebody to not buy lands.
Well, as a speculation target, not just for a playset. That's where I drew the line. I'm like, look, if you want to play with them, you play with them, but not for spec target.
Well, see, we're not in the modern season yet, so they actually do have the ability to go up again on this upcoming modern season.
Yeah, but they're high. Like, what I'm saying is, like, that's 3 months away, so I would wait and watch.
Well, that's exactly why you get them now. It's because then you're getting them well before the curve.
I think they've been spiking.
You're looking at it as, like, it's going to be a long-term spec.
Well, yeah, but I'm scared because there's Modern Masters 2 coming where we know that they're going to get reprinted. So let's say you've got a two-year window.
Okay, when is Modern Masters 2 first off?
Okay, well, based on the fact that Modern Masters 1 came out this year, probably 2 years.
It doesn't mean they're
going to
have Modern Masters every year. Or
no, I don't think it'll be next. It'll be 2 years from now. I have no idea. I could be wrong, but
I think you're wrong. Sorry, I just
really?
Do. Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, they do have a 2-year development cycle, so maybe it's 3-4 years away. I think they're going to fast track it because, like, okay, I look at Commander. They released it. They had no plans for Commander 2. And they're like, holy shit, those sold well. And 2 years later, they had the next set out, so I don't know. Makes me think. But
I don't know.
I just don't see those getting necessarily reprinted unless they're going to be in a set. And I honestly think that the Onslaught lands are going to get reprinted before you're going to see the Zendikar ones get reprinted.
So here's the follow-up. What if the Onslaught lands do get reprinted? Do those fetches go up or down?
Short-term or long-term?
Well, what is short-term? Short-term a year, long-term?
Yeah, exactly. Short-term, you're looking at anywhere from 6 months to a year. Short-term, obviously, they're going to be going down from where they are, for especially if you're talking paper.
Well, we're talking
but
Modo, man.
On Modo, I can actually see them while they're in print for the first 6 months go down, but after that, they're going to go right through the roof because of modern.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, how much more high are they going to go? I think at like 45 tickets right now, Scalding Tyrant is sitting at, right? Or something like
no,
that?
No, I'm not talking. We just said Onslaught.
Oh, sorry. Onslaught lands. Yes, yes, yes. They will definitely probably follow. Well, actually, I don't know. Like, you look at Return of Ravnica lands, they took a fucking hit, man. They're still down. I mean, they were, what, Hall of Fountain was going for 30 tickets online before, and now it's 5 tickets?
Yeah.
So maybe, who knows?
They just fucking dropped.
Well,
fucking...
here's the thing, though, is they were still – you're talking about cards that were playable in Modern, were hard to – had a massive scarcity.
Oh, that's true. And these are – yeah, okay, good
and
point.
And these have never been in Modern.
Good point. So,
and they would be in Standard and be highly used.
I think you're right. I could see those lands being 10 bucks or 10 tickets for sure. I don't know.
Well, while they're in Modern?
While they're in Standard,
They'll start that. But the second they rotate out of Standard?
They'll just climb, yeah.
Yeah, they'll climb to just 20. Where the where the fetches from Return to Zendikar are at right now.
So here's a question everyone's been asking. How is our 20-tick speculations going? And what card or cards or sets are you looking forward to or that you believe that are currently now are going to go up? Believe that you're safe to go into Return to Ravnica Shocklands. Those look cheap to me. Oh, a side note, the original art Shocklands are the lowest I've ever seen them. And I have, because I do like some of the old artwork. And you can get a Hollow Fountain for 6 tickets, which is insane. Original art.
And what's the new art at?
4.5.
See, that's one thing I could never, like, and especially on Moto, like, I do love the art. I do love the art of cards, and there is a fucking allure there, but like, especially on Moto, because it's so goddamn tiny and small. It's one thing if I've got the difference, but you know, if it's going to cost me even maybe like, yeah, half a ticket to a ticket more. If I really like one artwork above the other, but like when you're getting into, or you know, maybe when you're talking, like when you're talking commons or fucking uncommon, or just shit that's like under a ticket, you know, I'm going to get the artwork that I think is cooler. But when you're getting into, like, you know, paying 2 tickets more for different artwork on Moto just seems fucking ridiculous to me.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
especially when you get, like, when you get into some artworks. When you get into some of the, like, more expensive cards, like, you know, I don't know what the difference in, like, say, like, Bob, you know, fucking, or Tarmogoyf, the old versus new artwork on Moto.
There isn't that much. There's maybe 5 tickets. The real one was Thoughtseize. Thoughtseize was double, so it's actually
that just blows me away. Like I don't understand why. Like something like that is a great example. I get if you're, you know, a collector in paper, it's a little bit different. But like with fucking like the, as far as like what set it's from and the artwork and shit like that, price discrepancies on cards like that in Moto, like that big of a price discrepancy, just blows me away. Like why you would care that much to buy, you know, to spend that much extra money, like to double the price of it for the digital object. Like, I mean, again, I love playing Moto, but when you're playing Moto, like, you know, especially when you're playing on the fucking, we've talked so much about, you know, the fucking, the V3 client and the.
Well, the hold on. What I'm saying
is the artwork seems to matter a lot less when we're already dealing with other issues.
Okay. Like, so here's the thing. In V3, you can just swap the artwork, which is what I do. Right. I'm just saying, like, we do know that they're going to shut that client down next year. So. Yeah, and we're all gonna cry a little bit, but we gotta suck it up and deal with it. That's what it is.
What are all the streamers gonna do when you can't fucking skin your shit?
Well, you can. Well, no, they don't skin Moto. They use XSplit, which is like a overlay, so they won't be too bad. Okay. But you still can't
change your fucking like background or your playmat and shit.
You can't do shit. There's a big percentage of the population that doesn't like that, including me. I mean, I get that they want to move all the artwork server side, but whatever. Anyways, we're back to finance specs because that's what the question was about. Farrah, what do you think is trends, things to look out for, anything that we should be selling now?
I haven't been paying too much attention this past week just because of things.
Okay, mutable at 30 tickets.
Yeah, even Thragtusk at his peak was 25, I believe it was. So 30 on Muta is just ridiculous.
Yep. It's not going to get any more expensive.
It's going to drop. There's no way. It's going to. And Blood Baron at 20 tickets, for me, it's a great card. It doesn't look incredibly modern playable too much to me, so I'm cashing out of those.
I feel like
which set is
I don't know.
Dragon's Maze.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like Blood Baron might still hang around for a while.
Blood Baron's going to be hanging around for a while. I mean, and the thing about any mythic that sees 4 of play, 25 is a pretty common price for it. So
it's not a 4 of, dude.
I thought it was.
Only in the brand new black splashing just for that card mono blacklist.
You gotta look at that though. You gotta look at that. If there's a fucking deck that's splashing for that card right now, where its life in standard still has a couple sets left, like there, you know, a card, Blood Baron is a good fucking card. It's not something I personally play with, but it's a good card. And
it's
when
still 20, yeah.
Yeah, and when people are fucking splashing for it, I mean, look at, I mean, fuck, look at like Liliana the Veil way early on. When it came out, it wasn't that
whoa,
big.
Whoa. You can't even compare Liliana the Veil.
What I'm saying is like, you know, it wasn't that big. Or Thundermaw Hellkite. It was another one of those cards where it wasn't a big deal, but then as things shifted, things changed, and new cards were printed while it was still in standard, it all of a sudden was fucking monstrous, and it was expensive as shit. And that's what I think, like, I feel like fucking Blood Baron is going to be one of those cards that, I mean, I'm not going to say that it's going to shoot way up or anything. It's not going to go to fucking, like, you know, $80 Liliana prices or anything. But I don't know if I'd start dumping that
How
shit.
About I go this route? Blood Baron is to the black decks, the black control-ish decks, to what Sphinx's Rev is to the blue-white control decks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now, but here's what I – when I say cash out, it's cash out. You buy in, but I'm saying at 20, you cash out. If you look at the price history of that card, it was hovering around 10 tickets. Just like Blood Baron of Viscopa
okay.
was.
You know what though? Just to use the example that Kevy just gave, Thundermaw Hellkite was hanging around 8 tickets for the longest time, and then the deck that ended
I agree.
Up showing, and then it I just agree. Shot up to like what 30,
30, 32, yeah. Now, but here's what I'm saying: you sell now, Born of the Gods hits, it's gonna drop to about 15 because everyone's gonna get hyped about new brews. And then you buy back in. Because that card, I agree, Kevy.
Or number two happens, everybody goes, holy shit, there's better cards to go with this deck, and then watch the card jump up to 35.
I still think it's going to drop first.
I don't disagree that it's going to drop, but I think that honestly, you'd be fucking safer just holding on to them, fucking. And waiting it out because it's going to drop, but I guarantee you if it drops, it's not going to drop and then just fucking fall off. It's going to drop and then it's going to surge back up.
No. Let's play this out. Maddie, what do you think it will drop to?
I honestly believe that it's going to bounce around the 18 to 20 ticket range right now. Unless something dramatically changes in the metagame. If we're black versus blue.
Okay, no.
Yeah,
but,
let me finish. Don't interrupt, Farron. I think it's going to bounce in this current metagame. Born of the God previews start mid-January. So my call is, about mid-January, I believe Blood Baron should drop. I'm assuming it's going to go to around 15. So okay. That's why I'm saying, if you got them, like, because I bought in at
– the number. You said you're thinking 15 is the floor for the card.
I think that – not the floor. I just think it's going to drop to 15.
Okay. What do you think is the floor? What do you think is the bare minimum – the bare maximum that it will drop?
But, okay. I don't – okay. Here's the thing. In finance, I have stopped hard limiting cards. And what I've started to do, and I'm becoming much more successful in generating tickets, is I am looking at the trend of a card. And so just like stocks, a lot of people don't understand this. So a lot of people buy a card low and then they sell when it's low again because they waited too long. But I buy a card, then I sell a card. Then I buy back into the same card, then I sell that card.
No, and I understand, and I'm getting to that exact, Maddie, but at least let me point this out. That's the reason why I'm asking you for numbers of what you think it's going to be. That way I can give the reason why the math doesn't happen.
Okay. So then I think 15 is going to be what it's going to bottom to around for.
So we'll go with 15. Sure. Now, you're selling a card as a player. Remember, you are not a retailer. You are not going to get retail for this card.
I will sell that card.
80%.
Okay, no, false. So I've already sold 2 Blood Barons at 19 tickets each.
To what, players?
Absolutely. The only way you can make any money is you sell to players direct. I cannot sell to a bot because bots are offering 16. So
that's exactly what I was going to say, is that they're going to be giving you 16. So therefore, you would only make one ticket. It is not worth selling.
Exactly.
Now, on the other hand, I mean, God knows I've got the time to be able to sit there and nitpick and do whatever to get top dollar on my cards and pay bottom dollar, but I generally don't like doing that, and I'm sure most of our listeners don't like doing that. So in the general case, to be selling to a bot, that's not feasible for them to sell it at this $20 point, so they could try to pick it up at 15 and then hope then after that it'll jump up to 35.
35. Wow. I don't know. That is a bold call.
But you get the idea. It is.
I agree.
That it does that.
I don't hope.
Stay in at the 20, which is a solid enough price because it's not going to drop enough to make it worth selling now.
Could be.
And losing the playability for however long, because obviously if you don't have the card, you can't play with it.
So here's my investment strategy. So during Innistrad block, I bought in and then I sold right before rotation. And I saw what it did and I've learned a lot. And now this time during Return of Ravnica block, I was buying in on, you know, bulk mythics and bulk rares. I won 20% of the time, but I lost 80% of the time. Now, who knows? Maybe some of that stuff will still turn around.
Here's number two for you, Maddie.
Well, hold on. No, my new strategy in Theros block is what I'm doing this time is I am identifying high volatility cards, and okay. I'm going to play them, and that's my goal. And I'm just buying. And then, of course, I am still speculating part of that portfolio on very cheap, like, you know, 5 cent cards.
Put a wrench in your little machine here.
Throw it in there.
We just got DE's back. Cards are going to be going back up after this drop that they just had.
I know. That's why I bought in. Don't worry. I understand that.
Telling them to sell out.
I'm not telling them to sell out. What I'm saying is that you can make money. If I watch Masuba daily.
You can make money all the fucking time. It's just a matter of picking the right cards. That's a whole different ballpark.
It is your investment strategy. It is what you need to do. The number one card that even Marcel will agree with me is Thoughtseize. You can make more money on Thought. You can make daily tickets on Thoughtseize. Daily tickets. That card is the most volatile card in Standard at the moment. It drops from 4 to 7 tickets up and down, multiple times a day. You can even ask Luke. I bet, Luke, actually, you should tweet me and tell me if you've noticed the same thing. I have bought Thoughtseizes just one at a time, just to test. I bought them at like 2 in the morning for 4.7 tickets, and I've sold them for 6 tickets to a person in the morning, like at, you know, noon the next day on the community.
Oh, hey, so, speaking of which, since you just mentioned them, mad shout out to both Luke and Andrew W. You guys know why. Thank you. I love you.
They're awesome dudes. Anyways.
Yes, they are.
They're very cool dudes. They're very good in finance too. I will say this, that I don't know what's going to happen. Obviously, we have no idea what Born of the God's going to bring us. And Kevy, he's passed out and he's hit his
head
on the table.
Bring us babies!
No, I will say this.
It's going to bring us Christmas presents.
Yeah. I will say that the gods, just like Titans, I still believe that there's immense potential in them long term, and I would be just watching them. I don't know the crystal ball.
I'm still gonna stick with my original. That I'm pretty sure that.
Oh my god!
We have reprint a robot Titan Kevy. In.
You just oh, no. turned into a fucking robot, dude. That
Kevy?
Was awesome.
Kevy, yeah, you're gonna have to completely say whatever God, the hell you just said, because you went like all roboto on us.
Am I blender. Normal again?
Yeah,
yes,
you're normal.
You're good now.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna stick with my original statement that they are going to reprint Titans in Theros.
You know what it is? Skype does not like when he talks about Titans. The last time he said the same thing, he went roboto. I think Worth is like doing some code thing over the internet. He doesn't want this said, Kevy. You better stop.
Kevy, do not spoil the Titans, you fuck.
Oh, hey, speaking of Titans, if anyone wants to check the price on what Primeval Titan was going for, it's absurd.
Primeval Titan. I haven't been watching it.
So Titan went down to, I believe, like 3 tickets.
Six last I checked, but okay.
I think he's at
15 now.
Yeah, I think you. Let me just find him here. I think he was 9 tickets the last time I checked, but it might even be more. Let me.
No, it's cool. I'm just completely shooting blind, but if the green deck is as popular as I think it is, it should be about 15.
Oh man, of course I don't have this queued up because I just thought of it now. Here we go. What is it kicking in? Come on, Masuba. Holy shit, it's 20 tickets, dude. $18.59.
Okay.
That's insane. That's a big price. So that one is crazy. I don't know why that card isn't going to be banned. The card seems way too powerful.
You mean, what?
No, Primeval Titan, man, to go fetch an... I guess if Valakut's...
Why would you... No, this is an EDH, you fuck.
Oh, an EDH is banned. No, but in, I guess it's not even played in Modern, so whatever.
No, it actually does 2C play in Modern because of the... That's the whole reason that... Oh, God, Jesus, Matty.
Oh, sure.
Trevor Holdness, his green...
Yes.
Deck?
His Genesis Wave deck.
Sometimes is in there.
I know, it's awesome. I watched him play. By the way, huge shout out and congratulations to him for getting on the mothership and for actually brewing something that's good.
It's more than just the mothership. You got even like Tiwu and all the other like brewers taking and picking the deck up and playing it and having fun. And you hit a little gem there, brother.
Nice. I love
what
it.
What the fuck?
I don't
even know what happened with this. What?
It was Trevor, our clan leader. He built a mod.
Yeah, Trevor. Almost.
Okay, so remember when I was talking about building all the different, like, seeing how far devotion goes in Modern?
Right.
So he's like, okay, well, I'm going to do green. And I'm like, all right, great. I'm doing red and black. And so he brewed up this insane deck that just crushes people.
And it actually can win the game on, like, turn...
Any turn.
Two, you know. I guess there might be a way to win turn one, but I highly doubt it.
No, I don't think it's turn one. I think it's turn three and turn four kills were very common.
Yeah,
it's
they're
just,
not uncommon at all.
Once prime time hits, it's like, oh, well.
You're what the game. Fuck?
Thanks.
Yeah, it's awesome. You wouldn't like it, Kevy, because it involves doing nothing for like three turns, except playing creatures and not attacking. And then.
Well, but I like it if I don't do shit for three turns and then I kill you. That's still fucking, that still wins, you know, is faster than my burn deck does.
Oh, well then check it out, man. Check out his stuff. It's sick. It is.
Absolutely. But no, like what I didn't get was like, so like people like are picking up on it and actually playing it.
Oh yeah. He's getting huge publicity.
But like we just said, that's the reason prime time's up to 20.
That's great. Well, that's the when I said I'll be right back because everybody went robot and I kept going robot. I had to shut down Skype and come back.
Oh, okay.
So I missed all that.
Gotcha.
All good. Well, anyways, that's kind of been our overview of 2013, and we will. I guess we'll. Holy shit, we're gonna see you guys in the new year.
Next year.
Yeah,
we're insane.
Holy shit.
Yeah, well, actually, no, we will get an episode in. It'll be our New Year's episode in 2 weeks, so I believe we'll get in there. Mm-hmm. Oh,
we
no.
We might slip one in.
Yeah, we'll slip one in. we'll lube it up and slip it in.
We'll just lube one up and slip it in the fun hole.
Hey, you make sure that you have the right end of the antler.
Oh, it doesn't matter. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't really matter. If you're slipping in the fun hole, it doesn't really matter what it is. It's still going to suck for the person taking it.
Yeah. Well, at least you lubed it for them. So they're not too bad. Oh, Kevy, I got an advertisement in the mail from a certain American city requesting travel to it, and I was like, come on. And it actually
it makes me laugh every time. As soon as you're just like, so there's a certain city.
You know, I actually got an email about how we closed the show, and the email the gist of it. The gist of it,
from the San Diego Tourism Board, they're just all seriously. You guys are actually have put a small yet significant dent in our tourism.
No, actually, someone wrote. They were like, "Look, they're like, I don't know why you do this. You drag it out," and I'm like, "I don't drag anything out. It's Kevy who won't close the fucking show."
Yeah, it's like I'm like a fucking child kicking and screaming. Like, have you ever tried to throw a cat in a bathtub?
Yes. Like, yes, I have.
Every different fucking angle I can possibly come from to keep this going until, because of course you guys are fucking hours ahead of me. So right about the time you guys are ready for bed, I am just getting drunk and getting started.
Yeah, you know, the thing about this is, Kevy, I literally get up, go to work I get up at like 11:30, log into work at noon, get out of work at 9, have Maddie here trying to start the chat at like 9:02. You finally show up at 9:12, and then by the time we're ending this cast, the girlfriend's like, I gotta go to bed.
Oh, see, I've had to convince you, get my girlfriend to accept the fact that, like, this is what happens. And I get home, and she's like,
the difference, though, is you actually still get to see her.
Well, no, I don't. Throughout the week, I don't get to at all. Because when I get home, I'm like, hi, babe, how you doing? And then I get in a shower, and then I come downstairs, and I podcast. But that's Wednesdays. And look, by the time I get back upstairs, she's asleep.
By 9 o'clock.
And then Kevy slips it in the front
hole. Yeah, because she has to get up at 5.
Okay.
And then, but the problem is I have to fucking, like, on top of this, it's like, okay, Monday night, I can come home from work. I get home at fucking, 5:30-ish. Get home from work, and I can actually hang out with my fucking family. And then by the time my son goes to bed and my girlfriend's going to bed, I do my stream. And then Tuesday night, I get home, take a shower real quick, and I go to band practice. And by the time I get home, they're asleep. And then Wednesday night, I get home, take a shower real quick, come downstairs, and I podcast. And by the time I go upstairs, they're asleep. Then Thursday night, I get home, take a shower real quick, go to band practice. And by the time I get home, they're asleep. So then Friday night happens, which it's like, oh, shit, I actually could hang out with my family. I've been conditioned through my entire 20s to be like, it's fucking Friday. We're getting wrecked out of our fucking skulls. And now I'm like, oh, it's fucking Friday, and I don't have to fucking do anything. if I want to do something, I can go, we can go hang out at fucking, Jerome and Karen's house and get fucking wrecked with them. Or I can just sit here and watch TV and not do a goddamn thing. And then Saturday happens, and it's like, oh, hey, we got a fucking motorcycle club meeting. What I've done with my life is spread myself way too thin. So now my girlfriend's starting to get pissed off because she's like, yeah, well, between fucking magic and – and that's the other thing is, like, magic, I do this and I do the fucking stream. And then when I actually want to play some magic – I have to fucking do that too. I'm just all, hey, babe, I know that I haven't seen you in like a week, but do you mind if your brother comes over so we can sit here and play magic? And she's like, oh, you son of a bitch.
You know, like, Kevin, one of these days she'll tell you, no, it's okay, dear. Get under the table, start giving you a blowy, latch on, and not let go until you promise to put the fucking cards away.
Yeah, one of these days I'm going to have to fucking quit my band, quit magic, and quit my motorcycle club.
So Kevy, there's, Medina has sent you an email that just came through. And he said, well, he's here.
Ohio, that's the problem there, man.
No, Medina's – seriously.
Speaking of Medina, I saw a tweet from Medina, I believe it was today, that said that he would buy my mock-up of the A-Team fucking shirt.
Whoa.
The stick figure shirt. Hey,
there's 5 sold already.
Medina will buy one. We'll all buy one. Marcel said he would buy at least 2 to make sure it fucking sells. I'm pretty sure with like those and the members of the A-Team, let alone the retweets that I got from it. Yeah. We could
throw
sell
it up
that
on
shit.
Teespring. See if it'll,
Well, I don't want to be a dick. I'm not going to fucking jump in on their shit and just be like, oh, fine, fuck it. But like Proxy Guy said, he's all, honestly, it'll probably outsell the fucking,
You know what's so sad, Kevy? If we did that and we took all the thunder out of their first shirt.
Literally why I haven't just launched it and said, fuck it. Like I set it at like zero profit because I'm not going to profit off of their shit. But like, I don't want to be that dick that's just all, fuck it, hit the go button, tweet the link, and then sell a fuck ton of t-shirts and then just be like, fuck it.
Though, Kevy, you could literally label it the anti A-Team shirt. That way it's not official A-Team merch.
I labeled it the super limited edition A-Team shirt.
Actually, what's funny? The more I look at it, I actually really like it.
Fucking great, isn't it?
I know, and I'm a designer, and I should be like, snap hate it. Like, this is just gay and stupid. But you put time into those characters, and it's funny. I love it. I actually think it's cool looking. I don't know why. I think it needs a really good, tagline or something on the back.
No, like, I challenge anybody else out there. Here's another fucking art challenge for you. I challenge anybody out there to, on their lunch hour, just open up fucking Microsoft Paint come up with a better logo. No Photoshop involved.
Yeah.
No any sort of anything. You just have to fucking click the fucking mouse and drag the fucking line around. Because that's horrible. Exactly what I did. I came home and I was just all, this is going to be amazing.
You know, but it's almost like, you know what it is? It's like a limited edition, like, artist print. Like, you should even sign it, like a Kevy Metal, like, super limited edition.
I wouldn't even call it an, well, there's a little KM in the bottom corner. But I wouldn't even call it an artist print. I'd call it, like, a limited edition, somebody did this print.
You know what we could call it? We could call it a 30-minute Kevy expression.
Well, yeah, no shit. Fucking Slick Jagger, he said, he's just all, you know what? He's all, fuck it. He's all, just slap a fucking, you just do it up and then slap a fucking Heavy Meta SVU across the back and we'll just sell it as our own fucking t-shirt and I'll sell them.
Actually, we could do, you know what we could do? Your prints. Okay, hold on. I think I'm just, oh my God, merchandising. Here we go. We're going to create a limited edition set of shirts for every podcast. So, yeah, Kevy, your next goal is to draw Brainstorm Brewery characters.
Oh, dude, I got this. Oh, okay. You go to town.
Done.
I'm the new DERF.
You are the new DERF. Actually, yeah. Kevy, hold on.
I can't
on.
Wait until everybody's avatar is just a shitty-ass fucking retarded stick figure.
I was just going to say, can you please do that for us? Can you draw our profile headshots? And we will start this new thing called Kevy. Have you been kevied? There you go. Kevied?
Oh my God, I'm gonna have to go to work on this tonight. My girlfriend's gonna hate you even more.
She already hates this cat. Yeah.
I'm gonna go upstairs and she'll be like, "Babe, I'm almost asleep. Will you come to bed?" I'm like, "No, I've got a mission."
I have 25 artists. All right, now I expect Brainstorm. I expect Brainstorm Brewery first. So work on that, and we will. Guys, you're gonna love this.
Fuck yes.
Everybody wants merch.
It's going to be amazing.
You know, it'd be funny if we just did those shitty things. Everyone's like, hey, man, can you guys help us out with our merch? Yeah, sure. Kevy, draw some shit.
Oh, and this is going to be – what's going to be great, too, is like, you know, I'll gain a little bit of traction here, you know, in the Magic community, being on Twitter, and people are like, oh, that's kind of funny. And then you're going to see me, the poor motherfucker that, like, when my band falls apart and my marriage falls apart, I'm going to be the guy – I'm gonna be the guy that just has this shitty little table at every fucking GP trying to sell all my different fucking I got tokens, I got t-shirts, and they're all just shitty MS Paint stick figures of different members of the community. I'll even branch off. Fuck it, I'm gonna bootleg shit. I'll draw pictures of Helene, and I'll draw pictures of fucking Owen Tweedenwald, and I'll draw pictures of LSV, and I won't even give a shit. And they'll walk up and be like, oh, hey, that's me, my image. Like, I don't even know who you are. I'm like, hey. Want to fight about it?
You want to fight about it?
Fuck it. I got nothing to lose. I'm selling MS Paint drawings at a fucking Magic convention.
You know what? In all honesty, maybe you do that. You know they have those like colored glue. We should give you like a set of four colored glues.
Puff paint. You remember Puff paint?
I do. And
oh my God.
You could sit there and just do altars. Over cards with colored glue.
Oh, colored glue and puff paint. Yeah, dude, I'll just take, no, just normal Elmer's glue and just draw the stick figure over the top of it and then fucking nail it with a handful of glitter. And just go, there you go. That's $800.
And I'll sign it with my dick.
Mm-hmm. And when they're all out, I'm paying you $800 for that. And I'm all, well, thanks for the Liliana. And that's how I'm going to make my living, because what they won't realize is that Elmer's glue just peels off of shit. So then I'll just turn around and sell the shit to the vendors at the fucking venue. I'm business model. Boom. Now I have to make a decision between whether I want to do this or whether I want to start the fucking North Pole strip club. It's fucking Christmas all year round and there's titties everywhere. I don't think I can. I think it'd be really awkward if I fucking started that strip club and then I sat in the corner selling Magic paraphernalia at my strip club. So you know, I can only do one or the other.
I have to give Maddie serious props for trying to get you to shut up, but it is not working.
No, I actually honestly think this is a good idea.
That's the problem, is that you think this is a good idea.
If I thought it was a bad idea, I'd be like dumb buttoning, but I actually...
Look, your internet connection broke again.
Yeah. I honestly think, though, for January, like for fun, maybe for a whole month, we'll just change all the branding of Heavy Meta over to your style, just for a month. It'd be awesome. And then all the banners, all the feature banners that we do are your MS Scribble Paint shit for the episodes.
Oh, man. Tell you what, actually, let's go ahead and get a community vote on that before we go forward with that idea.
Nope, okay. Absolutely not, Ferret.
Okay, so guys, tell us on Twitter if you think Kevy doing a bunch of scribble art is a good or a bad idea.
Hey, maybe, okay, for one, you see, we ruined it now. We should have saved that for April Fools. And that would have been awesome. We could have not told KYT or anything, and then I knew I would have sent the banner out, and like, Carrie Dan would be like, Matt,
you know, we would have got another email. Are you sure this is appropriate to be putting on this site?
No, I think he would have just said,
we've got two of those emails so far.
It's pretty bad when, like, we've got a lot of firsts.
We've gotten
we're the first fucking podcast to have another podcast spawn off of the community, but we're also the first podcast that the website had to send an email and say, I don't think that banner is appropriate.
Multiple times.
Yeah. Oh my God. By the way, that banner was fucking amazing. And I need to get it back into that too. I have all these business opportunities. The cooking aprons, the fucking puff paint shirts, fucking the puff paint altars, and then reselling the cards after they won't pay for them. Oh man, I don't know why I'm living in poverty right now.
Now, you know, so what would you name this company?
I don't know. Just probably San Diego Unlimited.
Really? You wouldn't call it anything else?
I don't know.
Kevy is like the kid that does not want to take the bath.
Go to bed.
Awesome.
I am not going to bed.
He's the kid that ate an entire, like, Mars bar, and then you're like, go to sleep.
Maddie, wait.
Yes.
Merry Christmas, San Diego! Oh, ho,
I forgot. This is our Merry Christmas episode. Holy shit. Yeah. We didn't even say, like, hey, thanks, guys.
We didn't say a whole lot about Christmas.
Well, you know what? This is the closing credits now, so.
If you got, Merry like, Christmas. Hours, I got to fucking.
No, I don't.
You know, it's funny. You mentioned closing credits, and then I mysteriously, randomly get a naked girl in my bed next to me. So.
Close it out.
You know where I'm going.
Go do your.
Is it a mysterious naked girl, or is it like mysteriously you get a naked girl that you've met before in
your
bed? Well,
no, I've met this one before.
Okay, that's always a plus. Cause
I'm wearing jewelry.
No, wait! Is she wearing the jewelry already? After?
She does not. I did not put a ring on that yet.
No, I mean the pearl necklace.
Or the prison jewelry.
And that's how we do Christmas here, folks. Merry Christmas to everybody.
Merry Christmas and have a fucking happy new year.
Woohoo.
Chilling with his dog in the park. I approached him very slowly with my heart full of fear. Looked at his dog.